Thank you. blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1 and 3. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 and 3 of Psalter 102.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and there of chapter 27, the first 31 verses. But first we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 1 to and including 31. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them in the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? And he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who dost sit upon the throne of Thy glory, and Thou who dost in the way of Thy good providence, as still give unto us and unto our children in the midst of this world, blessing after blessing, which is so undeserved. And then in this beautiful Sabbath day, we are permitted with some to gather in Thy house and the rest in our homes, and Thy word may still go forth. Oh, that we may receive hearts that may acknowledge Thee in truth. O Lord, we can read in Thy word that Thy disciples desired to ask Thee a question, and they feared to ask. Then they were afraid of what Thou wouldest say. And how often didst Thou not say also unto them, Are ye also yet without understanding? O Lord, we are of yesterday, and we know nothing, and we have no understanding, except Thou will give it unto us. We beseech it of Thee, and when we gather round Thy word of truth, and that there may be a drawing nigh unto Thee in truth. O Thou, a God of heaven and of earth, who dost sit upon Thy holy and majestic throne, Thou knowest those who do tremble, and Thou knowest those who do fear, even as a Nestor of old, who did not dare to come into Thy presence because she said that she was not called. Then she feared, O Lord, Thou didst hold out to her that golden scepter, and Thou didst give that she may come even unto the King in this world. Oh, that Thou wouldst hold out to that people, that fearing people, that they may also receive that holy boldness, not a natural boldness, but that holy spiritual boldness, and that is worked by Thy Holy Spirit to draw nigh unto a throne of grace, even as one who is wretched, as one who is undeserving. Oh, how Mephibosheth did tremble when he was called to come in before the king, and then he did fall upon his face. Oh, give us such a heart, Lord. Give us such an attitude. Give us such grace. And that as unworthy and as sinful creatures, we may fall down before Thee, and that we may receive as they received a place to draw nigh to Thee. O Thou didst favor them, with thy blessing, that may be experienced by those who have sinned, by those who feel something of their own unworthiness. O Lord, that thou mayst give a cry in the heart of each and every one of us, and mine iniquities, they have gone over mine head, and they take hold upon me. I do not dare to look up. That thou mayst wash, that thou mayst cleanse those who may draw nigh in a way of true heartfelt repentance. That thou mayst come, Lord, in the days in which we are living, to work these graces in the midst of us. Remember those that do tremble, that do say, am I his or am I not? They look for a token. They look for a little mark. And they look for a little sign. They listen for a little word from thee, that thou mayst speak it, O Lord. In the days of famine in which that we are living, and not a famine of bread, but a famine of the speaking of thee, a famine of thy holy word. Though we may have it in our midst, yet to have it in our heart, O Lord, come. Come thou unto thy children, there that they are, even when they may be in a way of backsliding, or when sloth has taken hold upon them, and when thou dost have to say of them that ye have left me days without number. But Lord, thou canst not leave thy people. Thou wilt withdraw thy face. Thou wilt hide behind the lattice, so they cannot see thee. And yet thou knockest upon the door of their heart. Give them to hear. Give them to rise up again, to go forth into the city and to seek their beloved. That thou mayst remember us as a congregation, and that thou mayest work with might and with power, that thou mayest bring us together as one man in the right place before thee, in a place of true humility, in a place of bowing, in a place of acknowledging, in a place of supplication. Teach us, Lord, and lead us into all thy truth. Do remember all the afflicted ones. Remember her that does mourn the loss of her brother in the Netherlands in this week. Lord, that thou mayst supply for her and for her family, both here and in the Netherlands, and that thou mayst instruct in these ways. For we are those who have no eyes and who have no ears, except that thou dost give them for the first or by renewal. That thou wouldst look upon her and grant her yet a blessing in the midst of this trial. And wilt thou supply for all those that are needy, those that are afflicted, those that are sick. There are those that are weak, that cannot supply for their families. There are young also, that do experience pain and suffering. Lord, care for the old, in Bethesda, in their own homes. That thou mayst give in all these ways an undeserved and a forfeited blessing out of thy heavenly store. Remember our government. Lord, thou knowest the time in which that we are living. Grant them the fear of thy name in their hearts. Grant them wisdom. Grant them strength. Grant them courage. And that thou mayest lead us as a people also, that thy judgments may be blessed, that they may bring us yet to our knees, and that we may not trust in all the devices of men, but that we would have to bow before thee and to acknowledge thee as the God of the heavens and of the earth, to acknowledge our iniquity, to acknowledge our sin. Oh, bring back to thy holy word, and that it may have a place in the heart and life of each and every one. Remember us in this hour. Oh, Lord, help us to bring thy word. Grant us strength. Grant us wisdom. Grant us clarity. Oh, give us thy spirit, Lord, in the midst of us, even in this hour, to go from a pew to pew, to go from home to home, wherever that we may be, and that thou wouldst bless us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. We have remembered in prayer Marion Janssen, whose brother has passed away this week in the Netherlands after an illness. Psalter 184, stanzas 1 and 8. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1 and 8 of Psalter 184. beloved congregation, Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." David, he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan, he said, "The Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." That is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord. And then he is working with might and with power in the life and in the heart of a man. Three simple steps. There was an accusation, an indictment. And there was an acknowledgement with repentance. And then there was forgiveness. That is now the work of the Lord. Thus a guilty man, "I have sinned against the Lord." He was forgiven. How is that possible? When a man is indicted of a serious crime, and he will acknowledge that crime, then does not punishment have to follow? Is this not the way of the law, that punishment will follow wrongdoing? But Nathan speaks about forgiveness instead of punishment. He says, "Thou shalt not die." Is that not a wonder? Are you ever jealous of such a man? Did you ever with jealousy read the words of David, wherein he wrote in the Word of God, "Blessed is the man whose iniquity, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Ever a jealousy that lives in your heart, a need, a desire, that also your transgression, that also your sin may be washed away, because there is not one of us and that is soon going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then there will be serious crimes that are going to be laid against us. And then there are only two ways. Then either we will be forgiven or we will be punished. What does that depend on? That depends on whether or not that we have ever, by a true and living faith, fled for refuge to that blood of that crucified mediator. Whether his blood has ever by faith been applied to the doorpost of our heart. How is it with us? We wish, with the Lord's help, to consider in this afternoon the passion and the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ out of Matthew 27, verse 26. Matthew 27. Verse 26. "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." So far the words of our text. The innocent condemned in the court of justice, first, the necessity of this condemnation, second, the wickedness of this condemnation, and third, the blessing of this condemnation, the innocent condemned in the court of justice. First, the necessity, second, the wickedness, and third, the blessing of this condemnation. Our text, congregation, is written about the sentence of a judge that is in a court of law where the Lord Jesus Christ was condemned to death. Luke writes about Christ when he had been near the beginning of his ministry, that he was brought by the Nazarenes to the brow of an hill that they might thrust him down headlong. But we read of him that he, passing by them, went his way. The Lord Jesus must needs die, but the Lord Jesus cannot die in such a way. Why not? Because his death must be a vicarious one. That means his death must come in the place of other persons in this world. The Lord Jesus did not take upon himself the human nature in order that he might die in that human nature as a lone person, as a lone man, as a single man. No, the Lord Jesus must die as a substitute. He must die in the place of those who deserve to die, but will be spared by the Lord himself. If he did not die as a substitute, then what would be the profit of the death and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ unto each and every one of his children? Because then they would have an example, sure. They would have an example in which they might follow. And when he has showed good to all men, when he has denied himself, when he has given himself in the place of others, but we have heard it, it is an example that we cannot follow. Peter, with all his heart, had a desire to follow him. Peter, with all his heart, desired to do the love that to act according to the love that lived in his heart. But we see what the flesh of man is, even the flesh of his own children, and then he cannot fulfill it. To whom do you and I have to give an account? Sometimes we have to give an account to men, but ultimately we have not to give an account merely to a man, but we have to give an account unto God. And that is now the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is standing here in the court. What have the fellow Nazarenes to do with the accountability of the Lord Jesus Christ unto God? Say nothing. They are just his fellow citizens here in this world. That is right. Well, you say, what is Pilate more? Pilate is a heathen. Pilate is a Gentile. So it was. But Pilate has an office. That is now the difference. How great is the significance of an office that we little realize often in this world? That an office that is given unto a man by the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus acknowledged that office. There he stood before Pilate, and he did not give Pilate an answer. No, he went as a sheep, we read, to the slaughter. But there came a time that Pilate says, "Answerest thou nothing? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" And what did Christ say? "Yes, I know that thou hast such a power, because I know who gave thee that power. Oh, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except that it was given unto thee from above." That is why the Lord Jesus, he is standing before Pilate. That is why the Lord Jesus is submitting also to the sentence of this heathen man. Thus we have exactly the reason that the Lord Jesus is here standing in the court. This is the reason that he did not consent to being thrown off of the brow of a cliff in this world by his fellow Nazarenes. No, he could not consent to that. But he consents to this. Why? Because Pilate, he says, is acting in the name of his Father. Pilate, he has in his office power from above. That is so necessary. Oh, if guilty David will be forgiven. If the Lord will say to David, "I have put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." If the Lord will now say this to him, then what about the punishment? What about the punishment which David deserved? Where did that go? Is that now possible that the Lord, he can just look the other way? That David can commit adultery, and that David can murder a man, and that the Lord, he will just not take heed to it? Is that forgiveness? That cannot be forgiveness. Because then God is unrighteous. And that is impossible. Punishment is a legal matter. Punishment only comes from those who are in authority. A person can suffer many things, but if those things are not actually coming as an affliction from authority, then actually it is no punishment at all. Thus, if Christ, he was not sentenced by a judge, if Christ was not sentenced by one who was given authority by God himself, well, then his death, then his suffering, that can be no substitution, then it can be no vicarious offering. Thus it is so important that the Lord Jesus here, he is standing in the court. He is standing in the court that you and I also will come into. He is standing before a judge, which is a representative of God himself. Our fathers, in the Heidelberg Catechism, they write, "Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as a judge? That he, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed." But you say Pilate was a wicked man. Pilate, his judgment was unjust. That is true. We see that in our second thought, the wickedness of this condemnation. Indeed, Pilate was a wicked man. And we see that the judgment of Pilate was unjust. But we ask you this question: how else was it possible that God should fulfill his justice? Was there any other way that we can think possible that Christ would be condemned through that judgment seat? So what if, boys and girls, Pilate was a righteous man, a righteous judge? What if the judgment of Pilate was a just judgment? Say, what would have happened to the Lord Jesus? Well, you say the Lord Jesus would have been let go. Why do you say that? Because the Lord Jesus had no sin. That is right. Thus, if that judge was just, if his judgment was just, then there was no way. There was no way for the condemnation of the Son of God, that it could be spoken through that judge. Thus, Pilate retains here his own accountability. Oh, God is forever free from the sin of Pilate, from the sin of all men. And yet it lay in the foreknowledge of God. No, then we don't go far enough. Then it lay also in the decree of God that Pilate also should do this thing. And Christ, he is bowing under that decree of the Lord. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That indeed was sheer wickedness and injustice. Pilate did not begin that way. No, he begins, he says, what accusation bring ye against this man? Oh, that is a good question, Pilate. Pilate asks that to the chief priests and to the scribes and to these Jewish people. A good question, a righteous question. What is now, you bring this man before me, what is your accusation? Where are they standing? Outside. Outside. Why are they outside? Well, because the Pharisees and the scribes will not come in. They will not come in unto that judgment hall. Why not? They are too holy. They are too holy to come in to stand under the roof of a Gentile man, lest they be defiled when they should come near unto a Gentile, unto a heathen. Oh, they will not be ceremonially defiled. And yet there is murder in their hearts. That is man. Wickedness in his heart, and yet will not be ceremonially defiled, straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Pilate, he is more just than the rulers of the Jews. What accusation bring ye against this man? If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto you. They say, you do not need to try him. You do not need to ask us that question. We have already tried him, and you have just to take our word for it. Thus, we have done the trial, and you, Pilate, you must just be our executioner. and you must put a man to death at our word. Pilate will not do it. Pilate demands evidence. Pilate says, why should this man die when there is no evidence that is brought before me as the judge? Why should I condemn this man to death? Is that now the way you deal, Jews? Is that the way you deal with your own people? If that is the way you deal, then you take him and you judge him according unto your own law. That was right of Pilate. Oh, Pilate begins in a right way. And Pilate puts the onus on these Pharisees, on these scribes, on this Jewish people. Why? Because he knows, not because he is such a righteous man. No, he was not such a righteous man. But he knows, we read in God's word, that it was only envy. Envy in their heart for which they have delivered the Lord Jesus unto him. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Put him to death? Yeah, that is what we want. That is all they wanted. They did not want judgment. They did not want justice. No, they want death. And what is judgment and justice? That is all a sham. That is all a pretext. Why? That the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what manner that he should die. What is now the manner that he should die? He has spoken about that in his life when he was walking with his disciples. When he was walking and he said to them what they so greatly feared for. He was going to be delivered up into the hands of sinful men. And by their hands he would be crucified. What accusation bring ye against this man? I have not heard it yet. Will you hear it, Pilate? We have accusations. We have his crimes. He is a perverter of the nation. A perverter of the nation. O congregation, we cannot imagine how that this people, they can bring these accusations. A perverter of the nation. Oh, how those Pharisees, how those scribes have turned the truth of God so upside down, so that there was no truth left anymore for that Jewish people. How the Lord Jesus has condemned them. Woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes. How that they were not able to ask him any more a question. They had no more answers for all his questions. There was no question that he was not able to answer them again. And he was the one that was the perverter of the nation. His crime. He is a rebel. Forbidding to give tribute unto Caesar. Was that true? That was false. It was an outright lie. If there was anyone, the Lord Jesus, he has said to that people, render unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's, and unto God the things that be God's. And he has said also that he himself is a king. A king? Caesar? Is this man a rebel? Oh, Pilate thinks, I must now be careful. Is he now going to commit insurrection? Because there were other men. They have also tried to commit insurrection. They have also tried to rebel, and they have gotten people around them, and they have tried to come against the government. Thutis, Judas of Galilee, another Egyptian, all Pilate thinks when he hears Caesar, a rebel, goes back inside, calls the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus must come to him. And that earthly judge is standing in that judgment seat. And there is Jesus, the creator of the heavens and of the earth. Oh, who can fathom? The Lord says that he came, he brought himself under the law. Oh, who can fathom how deeply the maker of the law, that he is standing there in the judgment of this heathen man. Art thou the king of the Jews? What shall Jesus say? Shall he give him an answer? We read he gives him an answer. My kingdom, he says, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Thus, what is the answer? Yes, Pilate, I am a king. But it is not an earthly kingdom. Oh, Pilate, he listens. And Pilate understands. At least he understands something. He understands what these Jews are trying to do is false. He understands that this man, although he may in his heart mock with him and at his kingdom, but he understands that this man is no danger to himself. He understands that this man is no danger unto Caesar. He understands that this man is not going to bring an insurrection against the government. Oh, Pilate, he understands more than those Jews think that he understands. There is a natural kingdom. And there is a spiritual kingdom. Pilate goes outside. I find no fault in this man. That is, Pilate declares the Lord Jesus Christ, after he has examined him in the judgment, he declares the innocence, the perfect innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is now so important. Why is it important? If the Nazarenes had said something like that before they had thrown him off of that hill, then that would not have been so important, would it? But it is important because it is being stated here by a judge. After he has given an examination, it is important because of that judgment seat that this judge is justifying him that is being accused. Thus, what does he say? This man is innocent. I find no fault in this man. What does that mean? That every accusation that has been brought against this man, I have found, after examination, to be false. They are false witnesses. They are lies. I find no fault in this man. And yet the heat is rising. The Pharisees, they are incensed against his judgment. He stirreth up the people, beginning at Galilee unto this place. Galilee? Is this man a Galilean? That is my solution. That is my way out. He does not even belong to my jurisdiction. I may send him unto Herod, and now I am free. And so he goes, but soon he returns. And Pilate, he is not delivered. What now? Where shall Pilate turn? How shall Pilate free himself? Because the Lord Jesus returns and those people, they begin again to come together. Pretty soon there is going to be a large crowd again. And now Pilate goes out to that people once more. And he declares to them a second time the innocence, the perfect innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have examined him before you and found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. You will do what, Pilate? I will therefore chastise him. And why will you chastise him? You have said in the same sentence that this man has done nothing wrong. You said in the same sentence that this man is innocent. You've said in the same sentence that all his accusers are liars and you are going to chastise him. That is the evil of the pressure of this multitude. Justice declines. Pilate, he fears that multitude. Pilate will pacify the multitude. Pilate will overstep justice. Pilate did not fear the Lord, no. Pilate will satisfy this mob, and suddenly he thinks of something else. He has another idea. Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, whom which is called Christ? He will take advantage of something that was an evil custom, that was in commemoration at the feast when they commemorated that they were delivered out of the land of Egypt. Then he had a custom that one of those prisoners was released unto them. That was a wrong custom. That was a wicked custom. But he was willing to make use of this custom that he may deliver himself out of this predicament. And he sets before them a most vile duo, a notorious malefactor, a thief, a murderer, one who has indeed committed insurrection against the government. Why does he choose this man? There were more persons he could have chosen. Say he could have chosen a better duo, two that were more equal. No, he does not want to do that. Because he thinks this man is so vile in the eyes of all this people, then it cannot but be that this people will say, no, no, do not let that man go. He is a threat to us. He is a threat to the society. He is a threat to our children. That man, oh, justice in all of our hearts would say no. That man, he deserves to be put to death. And now those tender ears of that blessed Savior, all then he has to hear the choice of this people for whom he came into this world, his own people, that Jewish nation. Do you know what he said of that people? You are murderers of the prophets. And now the truth of it comes out. Now the truth comes out because when this innocent man has been declared innocent by the judge and he is set over against this murderer, then the murderers choose him who is like unto themselves. Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, O Pilate, that heathen man. What is it that has to come into his ears? He says, what shall I do with this people? He scourges him. He has him whipped until the blood that is running down him. And then he brings him out. And he will now appeal unto pity. Does reason not function? Oh, what about affection? Oh, then let the pity of that people, then let that bring a little sense into their minds. Behold the man, oh, the blood that has dripped in the Garden of Gethsemane is now splattered upon the court of Pilate, a crown upon his head, or lashes upon his back. And the people, oh, they as one man, they are crying. They are crying as madmen. Away with this man. He has made himself the Son of God. The Son of God. Son of God? Could this man, this strange man, be the son of the gods? Superstitious Pilate, he startles. Oh, he brings him back. Who art thou? He fears. Message. Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have feared many things this day in a dream because of him. O Pilate, Pilate now trembles. He does not know what to do. But now that multitude, instant with loud voices, that this man must be crucified. Else you are not the friend of Caesar. Not the friend of Caesar? Will they accuse me before Caesar? Will I lose my station and my place in this world? No. No, that cannot be. And so Pilate succumbs, knowing that for envy, they have delivered him. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The wickedness of this condemnation. Let us sing 223, 1 and 3. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. How long, ye earthly judges, will ye pervert the right? How long shall wicked persons have favor in your sight? 1 and 3 of Psalter 223. Last thought, the blessing of this condemnation. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. What do we read? When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Third time that he declares his innocence. See ye to it. What do you think, young people? Can washing your hands make you innocent? You say, that is not possible, is it? You ever feel guilty? And when you feel guilt, and you would go and wash your hands, will that take your guilt away? You say no. Did it take Pilate's guilt away? No. You say, well, Pilate tried. He tried to release Jesus. That is true. But he did not. He did not. And for that he is accountable, because he has been given that office, not to do what that people wanted, no, but to do what the Lord required of him. Oh, soon Pilate is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then it is going to be turned around. Oh, what shall that be? When those flaming eyes of fire that John writes about in the book of Revelation, when they will penetrate even into the very heart of Pilate, and so with that Jewish people. Oh, what have they cried? His blood be on us and on our children. Oh, congregation, the Lord has heard that. That was 2,000 years ago. We all know the history of that Jewish people. And then it is so evident that the Lord, he is sitting upon his throne, and that the Lord knows everything that is going on here in this world. He knows what is in our hearts, and he knows what our deeds are in this world. God is just. God cannot look over sin. And therefore it was necessary that Christ stood there before this earthly judge. What does that mean? That he was standing there before an earthly judge. That means that Pilate, when he declared the innocence, the perfect innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ, then through him, this was declared by God himself. And when Pilate condemned the Lord Jesus Christ, then this condemnation that has come from God himself. You will say to me, then God, he is just as unjust as Pilate. Is that so? That is not so. And why is that not so? Because there is something here that Pilate did not know. And what did Pilate not know? He knew nothing about a covenant. A covenant that was established already in eternity, long, long ago, between the Father and the Son. Oh, then they have covenanted together that the Father, as the great judge of all the earth, would impute the sin of his church upon his only begotten Son. Thus, when Pharaoh speaks, it is pure wickedness. But when the Lord, when Pilate speaks, it is pure wickedness. But when the Lord speaks through Pilate, it is pure righteousness. Sin must be punished. We say a blessing. The blessing of this condemnation is say, how can there be a blessing upon such a condemnation as this? What is the blessing? What do we read in our text? You know what we read, children? We read, then released he Barabbas unto them. Thus, this has a great signification. There is, with the condemnation of Christ, a release. A release. A release of a man from the prison. Thus, justice that has two sides. Sin must be punished. That is the experience of the true church. Is that also our experience? Do you know what David said? Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. And if the Lord will give to us that new heart, all then the sins also of long ago, they are going to come back to us. Oh, in that great judgment day, then we read the books, they will be opened. And one of those books, that is the book of God's remembrance. Do you know what is written in it? Every sin. Every sin. In thought, word, and deed. Every one of them is going to come back unto us. We read in the days of David that there was a famine 3 years, year after year. Judgment of the Lord. And David, he went to the Lord. Oh Lord, why do we ever do that? And the Lord answered him, said, it is because of sin. It is because of Saul that had happened a long time ago and his wickedness, that he has tried to destroy the Gibeonites. Oh, how long-suffering is the Lord. But the long-suffering of the Lord does not do away with the justice of the Lord. That is what we wish. That is what we think. And we think because a long time has passed between us and sin, that the Lord has forgotten. That is not true. No justice that is sure. It is as sure as God is true. God cannot deny himself. And now if the Lord regenerates us, we begin to believe that. We begin to believe that. Oh, then how strict is that law? When the Lord brings us into his court, oh, then we see there is no escaping that law of the Lord. The law knows no bending. You transgress, you must be punished. That is for every sin. If God spared not his own son, how do we think that we will be spared? No, that is but a delusion. That is a delusion of the devil. If we think that the Lord, he is going to look over it all. Thus, that is the one side of justice. But now there is also the other side of justice. And what is that? That is this, that the Lord never punishes the same sin twice. How unjust that would be if a man, he came out of the prison after being there for 5 years, as his sentence declared, and the judge says to that man, go back into the prison. You get another 5 years. No, you say that would be unjust. And certainly it would be unjust. And now the Lord, oh, he cannot punish those sins twice. This is now the blessing of this condemnation. It is the punishment of sin. That is that sin of that church, wherefore justice is now standing on the side of that church. That is the wonder. This is what the Lord is opening unto his people in his own time, when they are sitting as a Barabbas in the prison. There is no man as Barabbas. Barabbas in the prison, then released he Barabbas unto them. Oh, this truth, when it is revealed to that people, when they are sitting in that prison, that is a release for the soul of that condemned people. Oh, what greater comfort, what greater courage can be given unto a people. What do you fear most? We fear to die. We fear to stand in the judgment. Why? Because justice is against us. O congregation, if that now could come on our side, if that now could come on our side, and we would have justice standing for us, is there now any greater comfort for a man as he goes through this world? A man who is born as a son of Adam. A man who is condemned to an eternal death because of sin. Then release thee, Barabbas, unto them. Do you know what we read in Psalm 92? In Psalm 92, the psalmist says, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That is now the foundation of the security of the church of God. No unrighteousness in him. Oh, that people that have learned to flee for refuge unto that blood of this mediator. That is now the people that may receive the benefit of this condemnation. There is a people congregation who do not desire to be saved outside of the way of justice. They have no desire that the Lord would look through his fingers at their sin. No, they desire to be saved in a right way. They desire a secure salvation. And that is now what the Lord is preparing for his own church. He is my rock, steadfast, so sure. There is nothing so firm. There is nothing so sure as the judgment of that great judge and then applied unto his church. Who are those that may receive the benefit? Oh, do we ask ourselves also, am I his or am I not? Pilate could not think of a worse criminal as Barabbas. Can you think of a worse criminal than yourself? Do you know what the Lord does in the life of his people? Then he makes me to be a greater criminal than all the other criminals that are in the prison. The Lord, he makes a man a sinner before God. Did we ever become in our life, congregation, such a sinner? The Spirit of the Lord, he shows a man that he does not deserve mercy. He shows a man that he is wicked. He gives him to feel that he deserves to be punished. And now that it's just that man, when Christ was sentenced to be crucified, who receives a message of release. And he becomes a free man in one moment, because of the condemnation of that blessed mediator. Oh, Paul, he says, for when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. Did it ever become so in your life? The ungodly one. Oh, and when the Lord opens this to such people, then they are going to say, oh, blessed Savior. Blessed Savior, who opened not his mouth, but was willing to be led as a lamb unto the slaughter, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. Blessed Father, who has thought out such a salvation, who has accepted the way of substitution, that his Son may die as a vicarious substitute for a sinful people. Blessed Savior, blessed Father, blessed Spirit, who with so much patience and long suffering has instructed, has broken down pride, has brought a man low, has made him a sinner before God and a perfect object of the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou include us? Thou knowest who that we are. Oh, then we are from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. Open our eyes, O Lord, that there may be room and place for thy dear and only begotten Son, wilt thou forgive all of our many, many sins, and wash us and cleanse us in the precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Dismiss us with an undeserved blessing. Help us in the week that is to come. Wilt thou supply in our needs, each one in the place that he has given and been given in this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The third stanza. In bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love he heard my plea and set my soul at liberty. 319, the third stanza. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. blessing.